dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I'm thinking of as really an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world, as I call it, to discuss a very important facet, I'm afraid all too little understood facet of the war for the free world. I'm very pleased to have with us a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy and now best-selling author, as well as a chartered financial analyst, a man who knows his way around a balance sheet, among other things, as well as the nature of economic warfare that is being waged against us. His name is Kevin Freeman. He is the author of two superb books. The first is Secret Weapon. It is a book that has, I think, properly rocketed him to celebrity as a thinker on and advocate for real concern about economic threats to this country and how they are being manifested, have been in the past, and are today. But Kevin has, in addition to Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, also just recently published Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. I've known Kevin for a number of years now. I think we first met in 2009. He worked for Sir John Templeton for 10 years, earning his chops in the financial business. And it is a marvelous thing to have his expertise brought to bear on a subject that, as I say, needs a lot more attention at the highest levels and from all of us as we think about this war for the free world. So, Kevin, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Happy New Year to you, and congratulations on Game Plan. We're looking forward to having a full hour to talk about it with you today.
Thank you, Frank. Happy New Year.
Before we turn to Game Plan, let's set the stage a little bit, Kevin, in terms of the work that you have done that precedes this. Going back to your presentations to the Pentagon, I think starting in June 2009, shortly after we met, in which you tried to lay out some of what you believe might have been perpetrated against us in the fall of 2008 to quite, well, cataclysmic effect, I would say, both economically and arguably politically.
Sure. Back in actually September of 2008, I was sitting at my desk and another senior fellow of the center, Michael DeRosso, gave me a call and said, "What's happening in the markets?" And I told him and warned him for months that there were coming attacks that looked like elements were trying to bring down certain stocks. And he said, "Well, I've got two friends coming into Dallas-Fort Worth that I'd like you to meet. One was Steve Coughlin, and the other is John Guandola, two men you know well." Coughlin at the time was still attached to the Joint Chiefs, and Guandola was with the FBI. And they came in and talked to me about Sharia, the threat. And I said, "Well, here's another way enemies of our country could go about it. They could just simply crash our stock market, hack our systems, bring our economy down, and it would bring a very quick collapse to the United States." So they went back, and before I knew it, I was doing something I never in my life imagined I would do, which was writing a formal white paper for the Pentagon, followed by another formal white paper, followed by the final presentation of a comprehensive report on what was taking place in 2008 and how it made us vulnerable to enemies of the United States. And what we found was quite clearly that Russia, China, sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East, radical Islamic groups, Venezuela, Iran, North Korea, all had plans in attacking the U.S. using economic means primarily. And that some of those plans were actually put into effect in 2008, either triggering or at least worsening the financial crisis that we saw.
Kevin, I think you were the first to point this out to me, that the mayhem that was unleashed on Wall Street in the circumstance involving principally, at least initially, Lehman Brothers, began on September 11th, 2008. It is your thesis that that was not an accident, comrade. Is that right?
Frank, that is correct. It was September 11th, 2008 that we saw a massive ramp up in the use of financial weapons of mass destruction aimed at Lehman Brothers, and that simultaneously in the press in the Middle East, we saw this as a celebration over the collapse of a Jewish bank. And so when you put all of the dots together, it certainly looks like a financial terror attack, and it matches with the doctrine that was espoused by bin Laden and others, which is hitting the American economy through all possible means.
Talk a little bit about that doctrine, what we know of bin Laden's thinking and planning on this. We're all very familiar, of course, with this sort of kinetic form of jihadism that he had espoused. What do we know about the founder of al-Qaeda's views on and preparedness, in fact, perhaps even utilization of economic warfare instruments against this country? Kevin Friedman.
Well, bin Laden wrote quite a bit about how and took credit for collapsing the Soviet Union. He brought down a great superpower, and the way that he did it was he strained their resources to the limit. And there's some validation of that in that the United States simultaneously was using economic weapons in the Reagan administration against the Soviet Union, and in fact their economy did collapse. So he saw that as the means by which to bring down the superpower of America. At the same time, he was a reader of and a fan of a book published in 1999 by two senior colonels of the People's Liberation Army titled Unrestricted Warfare, in which bin Laden's name is mentioned something like 21 times in the book. And that's how I'm convinced that he was a reader and a fan of it, because he was an egomaniac, and any time he saw his name, he was curious about it. And we know that from the fact that when they found him, he had all these videotapes watching himself repeatedly.
And Kevin, this is a critical point. I think in addition to what we learned about bin Laden's attitude towards economic warfare, there's a sort of counterpart to it on the part of the Muslim Brotherhood, most especially the so-called nonviolent jihadist, that involves the practice of what they call civilization jihad. Talk, if you would, a little bit about Sharia-compliant finance as an instrument of economic warfare being used by, among others, Muslim Brotherhood and affiliated entities and individuals.
Yeah, the going back to the beginning writings in the Muslim Brotherhood, there's the term of economic or financial jihad that basically says using our money against us. And that's carried through to the point that when the Malaysian ringgit it didn't completely fail, but it came under serious attack in the Asian currency crisis in the late 1990s. The prime minister there, who was a proponent of Sharia-compliant finance, said horrible things about George Soros. You know, he's this blanking Jew, and that's his words, not mine, trying to destroy our currency. And then he then opined at length about how the George Soros-style techniques could be used to destroy a nation. And then he later met Mr. Soros, and they became friends. And so he said you could use things like naked short selling, which was one of those instruments used against Lehman Brothers, and you could bring down a whole country. And there are extensive writings on this. So I believe that the concept of Sharia-compliant finance, financial jihad, and unrestricted warfare all came together in a full understanding in 2007, 2008, and those weapons began to be applied, and they almost brought down the entire global financial system, which to us would be a bad thing, but if you are a radical in your Islamic beliefs, you think that might be ushering in something wonderful and good for the world, which would be finance under the control of Allah, which would be Sharia and Allah's laws of Sharia, Sharia-compliant finance, and you think that'd be a good thing. So we see it as bad, they see it as good, but it all happened right about 2008.
We're going to talk after the break with Kevin Freeman, the author of Secret Weapon, the subtitle of which was How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. And now, most recently, the author of Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, looking at what actually did happen in the way of economic warfare and its repercussions, and then what response the U.S. government took to it. That and more right after this.
Listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.